This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. It's a new week, a new day. Stu has decided to grace us with his presence. And we want to start with millennials. The discussion on millennials is they're lazy. They feel entitled. Simon Sinek, who is a friend of mine and a very bright, bright man, has diagnosed it perfectly in this interview that we were listening to earlier today, and we thought he's got it. However, does he have the solution? The future of our country depends on the millennials. Who are they and what's happening beginning right now?
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. So glad that you're here. Let's go with Simon Sinek in an interview that he did about millennials in front of a crowd about what is really happening with millennials and how do we reach out to millennials? What do we need to do to get them truly engaged, because there is a sense of entitlement there. Listen.
The generation that we call the millennials, too many of them grew up subject to, not my words, failed parenting strategies, you know, where, for example, they were told that they were special all the time. Mm-hmm. They were told that they could have anything they want in life just because they want it, right? They were told, some of them got into honors classes not because they deserved it, but because their parents complained. And some of them got A's not because they earned them, but because the teachers didn't want to deal with the parents.
Can we stop some here for a second? Where did that failed parenting strategy come from? Who was it? Let me reverse that. Who was it that was standing against the awards for last place?
Oh, right. Conservatives.
Conservatives. Yeah. Conservatives were all saying,
"We begged you not to.
Yeah, this is not going to work.
Right.
This is not going to work."
My gosh!
So I think
at
we
the
need
top
to,
of our lungs, we were screaming
right,
that.
Right. So I think the first thing we just need to put up on the chalkboard, just point number one: not all of America.
Now, no way would
was
Simon
behind
recognize
this.
That. But it's a fact.
I think he would. I think he would.
I don't think he would.
And
we should ask him
to back Simon with the stats on that. In 1940, 14.9%. of college grades were A's, 14.9%. Today, it's 45.3%.
Yeah, it's even worse in the Ivy League.
They're
that much smarter, right? I mean, think about that. When he talks about have people achieving these things without achieving them, I mean, there's no way. If it's true that they're that much smarter, then the classes should be harder. You shouldn't be giving half the grades an entire, mm-hmm. all over, not just one school or one class, all of college. Half of them are A's.
And we should have the greatest school system in the world year in and year out.
In the world.
And we don't.
And it doesn't happen that way. Anyway, he goes on to diagnose the problem.
Participation medals. You got a medal for coming in last, right? Which the science we know is pretty clear, which is it devalues the medal and the reward for those who actually work hard. And it actually makes the person who comes in last feel embarrassed because they know they didn't deserve it. So it actually makes them feel worse, right?
Hello.
So you take this group of people, and they graduate school, and they get a job, and they're thrust into the real world, and in an instant, they find out they're not special, their moms can't get them a promotion, that you get nothing for coming in last, and by the way, you can't just have it because you want it, right? And in an instant, their entire self-image is shattered. And so you have an entire generation that's growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations. The other problem, to compound it, is we're growing up in a Facebook, Instagram world. In other words, we're good at putting filters on things. We're good at showing people that life is amazing even though I'm depressed, right?
Hey, stop for a second.
And so
notice that the first problem, that he wrapped all of that up, failed parenting strategies. Mm-hmm. He wrapped that up with the diagnosis of what? What does he say that all led to? This is such a huge, huge problem. What does he say?
Social media?
No. Mm-mm. That's the next. That's point number two.
Looking for
self-esteem. Self-esteem. Yeah. The lowest self-esteem on record.
Which is crazy because seemingly every strategy today is to make them have higher self-esteem.
But it fails because you're not actually having to accomplish
because
anything.
Because it's artificial.
Right.
It's artificial.
Right.
You can't tell somebody they're great when they're not. If they're not,
they know it. That's why they know. They know when somebody is on the team.
Good to have you back, boy.
when they're on the team and they know that nobody's really listening to me. I'm just on this team for whatever reason. I've got pictures of the boss. People know I'm not making a difference. Nothing I do is really helping anything. When you have that, low self-esteem kicks in. I hear this from employee after employee after employee. I just want to do something that makes a difference. So when they're saying low self-esteem, and when millennials say, I want to make a difference, what they're saying is, I have low self-esteem. I have to do something that means something. This is what is propelling them, I believe, in their boots on the ground kind of activities. Where they say, I don't want to just talk about it. I want to go out and do it. They've heard the talk about how special they are their whole life. They know they're not. They know that's a lie. And because of that, they have low self-esteem. So now they're really motivated to stop talking about it and go actually do it. But getting there is the hard part.
Everybody sounds tough. And everybody sounds like they got it all figured out. And the reality is there's very little toughness and most people don't have it figured out. And so when the more senior people say, well, what should we do? They sound like, this is what you got to do. And they have no clue. Right? So you have an entire generation growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations, right? Through no fault of their own. Through no fault of their own, right? They were dealt a bad hand, right? Mm. Now let's add in technology. We know that engagement with social media and our cell phones releases a chemical called dopamine. That's why when you get a text, it feels good, right? So, you know, we've all had it where you're feeling a little bit down or feeling a bit lonely. And so you send out 10 texts to 10 friends, you know, hi, 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 hi. Because it feels good when you get a response, right? Right? It's why we count the likes. It's why we go back 10 times to see if my Instagram is growing slower. Did I do something wrong? Do they not like me anymore? Right? The trauma for young kids to be unfriended, right? Because we know when you get a hit of dopamine, which feels good. It's why we like it. It's why we keep going back to it. Dopamine is the exact same chemical that makes us feel good when we smoke, when we drink, and when we gamble. In other words, it's highly, highly addictive. Right? We have age restrictions on smoking, gambling, and alcohol, and we have no age restrictions on social media and cell phones, which is the equivalent of opening up the liquor cabinet and saying to our teenagers, hey, by the way, this adolescence thing, if it gets you down. But that's basically what's
really
happening.
Amazing.
That's basically what's happening, right? That's basically what happened. You have an entire generation that has access to an addictive, numbing chemical called dopamine through social media and cell phones as they're going through the high stress of adolescence. Why is this important? Almost every alcoholic discovered alcohol when they were teenagers. But when we're very, very young, the only approval we need is the approval of our parents. Okay. And as we go through adolescence, we make this transition where we now need the approval of our peers. Very frustrating for our parents, very important for us. It allows us to acculturate outside of our immediate families into the broader tribe. Right? It's a highly, highly stressful and anxious period of our lives, and we're supposed to learn to rely on our friends. Some people, quite by accident, discover alcohol and numbing effects of dopamine to help them cope with the stresses and anxieties of adolescence. Unfortunately, that becomes hardwired in their brains, and for the rest of their lives, when they suffer significant stress, they will not turn to a person, they will turn to the bottle. Social stress, financial stress, career stress. That's pretty much the primary reasons why an alcoholic drinks, right? What's happening is because we're allowing unfettered access to these dopamine-producing devices and media, basically it's becoming hardwired. And what we're seeing is as they grow older, too many kids don't know how to form deep, meaningful relationships. Their words,
Stop.
Not mine.
Stop. They will. Mm-hmm. Jeffy, say it. Where am I taking that?
Go ahead, Glenn.
That is exactly this adds fuel to the fire of my concern about gaming, the way it's being done with virtual reality, and what is coming. It is giving you a full sensory gratification. You will get what you want.
No need for any other
No human. Need for human interaction. And yeah, you won't know how to do it.
When the VR thing is perfected.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, it'll be the artificial thing they're looking for.
Yes.
But it's just that. It's artificial.
And so then what happened? How do we not become Japan? Seriously, Japan, they can't get people to breed. They cannot get people to have sex with one another. Now, I don't know what weird stuff is happening in Japan that stops that. But it's not happening in Japan, and there won't be any Japanese people left, you know, in 100 years.
Yeah, their replacement rate is it negative now?
It's almost, can't be negative.
It's almost zero, but it's certainly it's at an unhealthy level for sure.
Yeah,
it's at an extinction rate.
Yeah, it's at a point past the point of no return.
Uh-huh.
So when we're encouraging people not to have relationships. Now, Saturday, I heard my son, he was in the kitchen, I was in the kitchen, and he was playing, I don't know, Minecraft or something, and he was playing it with two friends together, and they each had boxes up on the, you know, up on the screen.
Yep.
They were two girls that he was playing them with, who are his friends, and I saw normal interaction. I was listening to them while I was working in the kitchen and listening to them, and it sounded like absolutely normal interaction. So what's the problem with that? I'm trying to defuse myself from being so phobic about that. He seems to have normal interaction. It's just different. It's just not in
person.
Not in person. But he's still looking at them.
Yeah.
I think it's just what is normal interaction changes. It's something we've talked about with going to a concert.
Right.
And you go to a concert and all you see are phones. And every person like me or older says the same thing. Why don't you experience the freaking show you paid for instead of filming it? But that is how they experience the show. They don't experience the show by looking at the show.
Yes.
They experience the show by holding up their phone and recording it so that they can post it later. That is
and
their experience at a concert.
Some artists are starting to push back against that, right? Was it Adele?
She's hollered at her.
Would you put the phone down and just watch the show? Enjoy the show.
I would
experience
say,
the show.
You cash the check, I'll watch it any way I want.
Happens.
Sing.
Well, I will tell you, though, that it happens all the time. When I meet people, we'll go out places. There's one person, if they're in a group, there's one person who I never actually interact with because they're the, you know, usually a parent standing there with a phone, and they're only talking to me through the phone or talking to their child through the phone. So we never make eye contact. And I always feel bad because I always feel like they were ripped off.
Yeah.
You
missed it.
They never had that personal connection. They did through the phone.
But we'll get to experience it later, Glenn.
I know. It's weird.
It's weird.
Now this, last week we talked about the coastal buffers and how they weaken hurricanes at landfall. Now scientists are calling this a lucky phenomena. Scientists are discovering how incredibly prepared Mother Nature is for dealing with natural disasters. By the way, do you remember, we have to play this, what's her name from in Congress from California that said the Sierra Nevadas soon, in like 7 years or 10 years, she said this about 10 years ago, won't have snow.
Deb Boxer?
Yeah, it was Barbara Boxer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find that because they're about to have 20 feet of snow from the last week and a half. They had three feet drop on them yesterday alone.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So we've been listening to Simon Sinek talk about the problem that the millennials face, and really not by their fault. They were raised with bad parenting strategies that many of us have fought against for a long time, and now we realize, oh, gee, everybody gets a trophy isn't healthy for society. And so now how do we get out of this? You want to go to his solution?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's his solution.
Which leads me to the fourth point, which is environment. Which is, we're taking this amazing group of young, fantastic kids who are just dealt a bad hand. It's no fault of their own. And we put them in corporate environments that care more about the numbers than they do about the kids.
Okay, stop for a second.
I'm sorry, it's not a corporation's responsibility to raise children when they're 32 years old, especially.
Okay, hold on
and
just
all
a
they
second.
Care about is making
okay,
money.
Okay, hold on just a second. Because we may be speaking different languages, so let me go there. But
we're
first,
speaking English. What you are speaking.
I'm learning to speak progressive. I'm learning to speak the language that is being spoken all around us.
Yes.
So
how do you put this in a progressive way?
So what he's saying here is, I think you're hearing this in a progressive way. I think if I would rephrase,
especially knowing him,
yes,
yeah, I'm hearing it in a progressive way.
So let me now say it this way. First of all, do we generally agree it is their responsibility to fit in the world? The world doesn't shape shift for you.
Right.
You have to find your way in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when he says at no fault of their own, you can say, yes, they didn't, you know, society raised them, their parents raised them in a certain way. And they were used as guinea pigs to experiment on, something that we took all eternal principles and threw them out the window and said, hey, being first is just as good as being last, right?
Mm-hmm.
So through that part, no fault of their own. However, once their life starts to fall apart, it is their responsibility, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's personal responsibility at every step. Right?
Every step, yeah.
As long
but
as
when you're a kid
ascension
and
being,
everything in society is training you to go one way, you generally don't
difficult.
Say,
well, that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Over your life, you should reexamine
Correct.
Those things, of course.
But what does it take for you to reexamine your life? It
takes a crash. You gotta hit a
right?
bottom.
Something has
That's
to go wrong.
Yeah.
The most common, probably,
right.
yeah.
Something has to go wrong. And it could be just as much that I keep getting these trophies and I feel like crap. I keep getting everything I want and I'm not happy at all. That's the most likely crash, but that crash will lead to suicide.
And that crash is coming with, I mean, he cites some numbers.
Suicide? Okay. So that crash is a crash of no self-esteem, because nothing has ever given you self-esteem, because you've never been taught what self-esteem comes from, mm-hmm. and that is accomplishment.
Yeah.
Okay? Doing something. Even if it is, it's like when, you know, when you go clean your house or when you were a kid and you cleaned your room, you felt good after cleaning your room.
Even though you didn't want to begin with.
Correct. There's something to be said for accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So now, let me show you what he just said, I think, about it's the corporation's responsibility. No, it's not. Well, yes, kind of it is. We'll go there next.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. Glenn Beck Program.
Well, hello and welcome to the program. Glad you're here. Talking about millennials, but I think this is going to lead to talk about the border and everything else. Because
all ties in.
This is, I was reading something early this morning about a study that was done in the 1950s that I'm taking a course now on logic, and I'm trying to learn the fundamentals of logic, and it's an online course. And the last paragraph of this online course is, once you start to see how to use logic, warning, you're going to see how it has been unwired and rewired to make false points logical.
Well, we've seen that.
Right. And
without the course.
Yeah, and this was done maybe 10 years ago, so this has nothing to do with what's recently happening. And he said, the professor said, but you have to make a promise to yourself now. You cannot use that way of logic to win arguments. Because there's ways that you can rewire it, because people are people. I read a story from the 1950s about a really important test on crowds and how they, how you can get people just to go along. And it's fascinating, because that's what we were doing. In the 1950s and 60s, we were still trying to figure out Germany. How did Germany scoop up and kill all these people? Well, you might want to look at Russia, too, but
yeah.
How do they do it?
But without the people rising up and putting a stop to it.
Correct. Now, the same thing, I think, on a much smaller scale, is happening with students. And I don't mean, the Holocaust is a smaller scale. I just mean that a way to manipulate logic and a way to get people to just go, maybe it's just me, is happening. Remember after that we read the headline on Newsweek 8 years ago, we're all socialists now. What was the slogan of the 9/12 project that got us to the mall with 500,000 people? What was the slogan? You guys remember?
We surround them.
We surround them.
Yeah.
You're not alone. We surround them. Because people were starting to feel like, maybe it's just me. Is it just me? No. No, it's a game of logic. And it's a way to get you to feel this way. And so now all of the students are coming out, all the millennials are coming out, and they all feel the same way, generally speaking, that they have low self-esteem because they didn't come in first, they didn't really earn the grade, mom and dad got them out of this, they've never really had to work hard, they haven't had any real rules because the parenting game has changed, and we used our kids as guinea pigs. So now, is it just me? It must just be me. I don't feel good about this. And they don't know how to diagnose. And there is no critical thinking that has been taught. So they don't know how to find their way out. So Simon Sinek is a friend of the show and has always had really good diagnosis. Don't think his solutions are always right. But his solution so far is, okay, so millennials come into the workplace. It's the workplace that needs to handle this now.
They care more about the short-term gains than the long-term life of this young human being. We care more about the year than the lifetime.
Of course. Right? Stop.
And so,
Apple is supposed to reach out and take care of each and every employee. Apple is a corporation that sells products, and that's their goal. And
so
then they employ people and pay them a really good wage to work there.
It is not a
corporation's function to get into the psyche of each and every employee.
It might be their function to get the most out of their employees.
Yeah.
So like if you can create an environment that doesn't hurt your company, that helps the company because you're getting more out of these employees than you otherwise would,
but
that's something
that makes sense. Organization.
Right. But it's not your job to make them feel fulfilled in their lives.
All
that's
they
their
care about is
job.
The bottom line.
Okay, so I think we're actually saying the same thing, but you're saying it in a way that someone on the left, yes, someone on the left will not understand. They will immediately say,
so how would you say it?
In my company, the number one thing we focus on, the number one thing for me is healthcare.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that the people who I work with never have to worry about healthcare.
But you're not performing the healthcare. You're not you're not managing the health.
I know. Hold on. I'm not arguing with you. I'm trying to show how I can say the same thing he just said to a conservative. He's not talking to a probably a lefty audience. Let me say what he just said, which I believe is not exactly what he meant, but is the right answer. A corporation, its job, because it has shareholders, it has a fiduciary responsibility for all those teachers, all those fire people, all the policemen that have all of their money wrapped up in an IRA or in a mutual fund. It has it wrapped up in those companies. So their first responsibility is to make money for the shareholders. Now, what's the best way? The best way, I have found, is to, as Simon says, find your why. Why are we in existence? If you're in existence just to make money, you might make some money, but it won't necessarily be the greatest product. It won't necessarily succeed. But if you're into it because you know you can make people's lives better, now you've got something. Because I know my product, my Apple computer, my Apple iPhone or my iPad. Yes, I'm building iPads, and it's my job to build this iPad the best it can be. But why am I building it? I'm building it because I know this will make people's lives easier and better, and they're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything wrong with that? That sounds like a total capitalist.
No. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that's not the capitalist the left thinks we are. Because we start out our conversation. That's not their job. That's not their job. Well, yes, it is. It is. The best capitalism is the one that responds to the invisible hand of the market. And the invisible hand of the market will give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing you can do as a capitalist is learn who you're serving and then serve them and make their life easier, better. It's really capitalist charity in a way. I make this for a rich person. Within 5 years, everyone's going to have this tablet on the planet. And so everyone will have it. And I'll be able to change the lives in Africa because we were a success. Now let's go to the employees. Employees, we've all worked for companies where you were number 1174 and nobody cared, right?
Mm-hmm.
We hate that. All of us do, left and right. We hate that. Why? It's not because they're sitting down and going, oh, Stu, you're the best guy ever. You didn't want that. What you wanted was to do something of meaning and do it well with a bunch of people who have the same kind of spirit. Isn't that what you want?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it.
You want to be paid a fair wage and treated with respect. You want to also, you could even, I would make the case, you'll even take a pay cut if it's a great place to work. You'll work for less then you could work someplace else. I mean, not great,
yeah, sure,
not
right.
great disparity, but you'll work less if this place is just the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you're accomplishing something. And the corporation shows that, yes, Stu, you're important to me. And you know what? You have worries in your life. I, because of the work you guys do, I can make sure that we provide the best healthcare for you. And that is the most meaningful thing I can do as a company, is take away all of your worries about you get cancer, you have to have your teeth done, you have to go to the doctor, your daughter, your son all of a sudden gets cancer. I don't want you to worry about any of it. Just concentrate on what you're doing here. I don't want you to worry about where you're going to get your lunch Don't worry about that. We got a chef here. We're going to take care of lunch for you. You come in and I know we don't do that because we don't have the money, but let's have, let's, you know, what Google does. And that's
great.
Good capitalism.
Yeah. I think the line there, though, and I think it's what he said, which is why I reacted that way, is I think it is part of the company's responsibility to try to make an employee fulfilled in their work life. That's part of it because you want them to be happy and interested and productive.
Yes.
That's all part of it. He said, but he referenced their life. It is not a company's responsibility to fulfill your life.
No, because I
and
think...
And that is, I feel like, a weird target that we're setting that is not... That's not
and
what
I should... And I could... See, again, the idea here of why we're talking about this and the way we're moving as a show is let's learn how to talk to one another. And I really think it's why I can have friends... Simon and I have a perfectly wonderful time speaking to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are things that I don't say to Simon, and there are things that I wait to say to Simon. Okay. Because Simon is a guy who lives in New York City, surrounded by people who think like him. And so when he comes down here, he's suddenly surrounded by people who don't think like him. And I don't think he realizes that he's in the normalcy bias. He's looking for something normal here. Well, this is normal. For at least half the country, you just don't know that. And so you come in and you're like, well, no, listen, guys, you got this all wrong. No, I have my language wrong for your set. You have your language wrong for my half. So how do we talk to each other? By arguing what he just said, unless he gets to the point to where he is saying something different. But we can make the same point and win the argument if we don't argue that it's not a company's job to affect people's lives. Because I think our case is so strong, you don't have to say that. It is in our best interest to care about our employees. It is in our best interest to do these things.
And that's not a problem at all.
Not a problem. It's
probably for either side, right?
Right.
Either side.
Right. But what happens is we'll get into this argument and we'll get bogged down in this 5% that might believe, no, corporations should actually be owned by the state because that's why you're so evil. That's maybe 5 or 10% of the population. Everybody else lives in that reasonable zone. But they're not hearing that from us. When Samantha Bee was down here, she was shocked. She ended up crying in the interview. You didn't see it. I'd love to take the raw tape of that interview and edit it myself so I could show you who she really is. She edited it to show me who I was. But you just saw her snarky comments during that interview. If I could edit, I would show you who she is. Her heart is huge. She just had never met a conservative who also believes the same thing that she believes about let's rescue the refugees. Let's take the refugees who are being sought by ISIS, et cetera, et cetera.
And I think your point is she actually has thousands of times. She just didn't realize it because people are speaking a different language.
Correct.
Right.
She just is surrounded by people like her who are being telling her all the time and constantly we're reinforcing by our language that that's not important.
And our listeners see her show and think she's a liar because of the way she treats conservatives during the rest of the show.
But she doesn't. I don't think she knows it.
And she's not thinking of things like she's still trying to entertain
But she's also surrounded by in the New York attitude.
Yeah.
So she's
really
surrounded
hard.
By we're right, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she told me in their interview, I've never met an American I don't like.
She just needs to understand we're right and she's wrong.
Right,
and then it'll all be better.
Then we're set.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, these are great. We have some really great phone calls on this. We're going to get to it at the top of the hour as we talk about millennials. I will tell you that I don't think all millennials, it's really unfair to put people in a group and say all millennials are this
way.
You
know, as I was looking around the room at the camera people and all the people that do this show, most of them aren't like that. They're not the, you know, give it to me lazy.
I don't know.
I have it coming to me people.
I don't know anybody here that's like that. Besides Stu and Jeffy,
disagree on that one.
And he's certainly. But I mean, the only thing millennial about him is he's been alive for a millennium.
Millennials, I think, want to make a difference, and they may not know even why they want to make a difference. Yeah. It's because they instinctively know I haven't earned anything yet in my life.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.